All right, take your Bibles and turn to Luke 11. We're going to look at prayer today. We did a lot of praying this morning. And I remember reading about George Mueller. Some of you know who George Mueller was. Some of you probably don't. But he was a guy in England. He was actually Dutch, I believe. And he was in England and late 1800s into around the First World War. And he saw there was a great need for taking care of orphans. He became born again, and he decided he wanted to serve God. And he had one verse, and it was about, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And that was his verse that he put his life on. And so he opened up an orphanage. But he never would ask anybody for it. He didn't do fundraisers. You know how you get letter after letter for. Mm-hmm. I love when I get a letter and it says, this is our annual fund drive. And then the next month I get a letter from the same people. And they go, this is our annual fund drive. And it never ends. The annual fund drive goes on daily. Anyway, he never asked anybody for anything, but he would just pray. And I can't remember, I used to have it written down somewhere, but he talked about how he prayed continually for people and things, and he would never stop praying for them until he saw them come to pass. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say how thousands of prayers were answered by God. And, there were many great examples. One was they ran out of milk, and he was praying. He prayed every morning for her. Couple hours, get up early, and when he finished praying, he asked God for milk for his kids. And when he came downstairs, opened the door, a milk truck, which in those days was a horse and buggy, or a cart, and it had broken down. I guess the wheel fell off or something. Mm-hmm. And the guy was there, and he said, "Would you like this milk? It's going to go bad if mm-hmm. I don't." So the kids had milk, but a lot of times in religion, prayer is prescribed. It's mm-hmm. written down, it's memorized, and repeated. And many times it's not done with the right reason. It's done out of obligation. I have to pray. Not I want to pray. Or I want to commune with my Heavenly Father. But, it's like if I don't pray, the axe will come down. That's true, right? Or sometimes it's done out of fear, or it's done out of desperation. But in God's word, it tells us a great many things about prayer, about why and how, and it gives us examples of results. And we should be excited to pray individually and as a group. We should pray with a desire and a determination to please our Father and God, our Heavenly Father. And we should pray with desire and determination to help others and ourselves. So I want you to go to Luke, or if you're there. And the first part of this chapter is about prayer. That's the context. And it says in verse 1, it came to pass that as he, Jesus Christ, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, it doesn't say a lot of places about Jesus Christ praying, but it does make some very specific notes or places where it tells us about him praying. In Mark chapter 1, it says he got up early in the morning, a long time before sunrise, and went out to a solitary place and there prayed. Another time after he healed the 4,000, I think, he sent the apostles out in a ship, and then he went up into the mountain to pray by himself, and then he walked on the water, and he prayed, and of course, he had great results as well as he had a great relationship with his Father. So his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, now this is what, some people call the Lord's Prayer, but it's very inaccurate in the King James and other versions. So I'm going to read the way it should read in, or it reads in the Greek. It says, He said unto them, When ye pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. So that's it. Not at all like the one we memorized when we were kids or whatever in church. Now there's another place in Matthew where it's a different situation. It's a different record, and it's more lines up with what people call the Lord's Prayer. But the point is, he's talking to them about prayer. So then he goes on, and he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And of course, in the East, when somebody came and stayed at your house, it was part of the culture that you had to feed them and take care of them and watch over them. This guy was upset because he had nothing to give his guest. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Importunity is an interesting word. In the Greek, or the Greek word, it means boldness or shamelessness. The English definition of importunity is persistence. So whichever way, it still is important, to be bold in your prayers or to be persistent in your prayers. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So he's talking about asking God for the things that you need. And then he goes, If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Now, what does that mean? That sounds stupid, doesn't it? But in the East, they would have a flat round stone, and they would put their, they'd make their bread and they'd put it on the stone, and it was like pita bread, right? You know what pita bread? It's a round piece of bread. And so that stone that they cooked it on would be about the same size as the loaf of bread or the whatever it is, the pita bread. And over time it would, get charred and stuff, and it would almost look like a piece of bread. So he said, Which one of you would give a stone rather than bread? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? And there's a thing called a snake fish, Looks like a fish, but it's really not. It's a snake. And, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And Bishop Pillay said that there are certain scorpions in the Middle East, and when they're pregnant, if you don't notice, if you don't realize it, it looks like an egg. But the point is this, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so he's talking about prayer, and he's talking about the giving of Holy Spirit. What a great thing. See, prayer, Jesus Christ was very familiar with prayer, and he was teaching his disciples that they needed to pray, they needed to be persistent. They needed to ask God for the things they needed, the good things. And he points out the goodness of God and how God would always give us good things, especially Holy Spirit. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. This is at the time of the Sermon on the Mount. And it says in verse 1, take heed. Take heed means what? It means to
pay attention.
Be intent. Listen. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. And the word alms there is righteousness, or your righteous acts. Don't do your righteous acts before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, acts of mercy is what that means there, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, or your acts of mercy, let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth. That would be kind of like a figure of speech, right? Because your hands don't know. Right? But what is he saying? He's saying, do it discreetly. And it's not for glory. It's for the right reason. You do things because it's what God would have you to do. And you have the heart to do it, to help people, to help others. So... Then he says, verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And, you know, God will take care of you. You know, there are many examples of people that are, they're called philanthropists, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they give and they endow things like hospitals and universities and things like that. And everybody says, oh, what a wonderful person. You know, they may be or they may not be. I can't judge them. But there are also people that do these things and you would never know who they are or that they do them.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some really cool thing when during the election. Donald Trump's father was really an interesting guy. And he built a synagogue for Jews that had escaped the Holocaust and come over to the United States. So he took those people and he built them a synagogue, not for any other reason than he just wanted to bless them. So, you know, I don't know if he got any glory or praise for it or not. I don't think so. So anyway... But see, God knows when we do things and when we do it for the right reason, and he will reward us. We don't worry about if people reward us or not. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And he's speaking about, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these religious guys. And they would make a big show of how, you know, religious they were. And they'd pray and, you know, go through all the motions. But verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. For when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. What are vain repetitions? Vain repetitions are saying the same prayer over and over and over, you know, memorizing a prayer and saying it. What is it? The Muslims do the worry beads, and Catholics do the rosary, and they say the Our Father and Hail Mary and stuff. Well, you know, I guess, you know, some people, maybe if they have the right heart. But God says, you know, it's not about vain repetitions. It's about praying from your heart. God bless those people if they got, you know, and people that have the right heart, if you taught them the truth, then they'd want to do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
But you can only go as far as what you're taught, right? Some people, that's what they're taught. I mean, I was taught that stuff when I was a kid and prayed those prayers. And what do we say when I went to bed as a kid? Every night we'd say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. That was a vain repetition, but that's what I was taught. I couldn't do any more than that because that's all I knew. Right?
God honored that.
He did. He honored it only because I thought I was doing my best. But once you learn more, right, then you can do you can do better. So verse 7 again, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. And then he goes on and he does the Lord's Prayer again. But when it says that, you know, he says after this manner. He doesn't say memorize it and do it word for word. He said after this manner. And if you examine that prayer, he's praising God and he's asking God for things. But he doesn't say, okay, you've got to memorize this prayer and do it every day for the rest of your life. I can't remember what it was called. We saw some Christian movie about this woman that had a closet and
the war room.
And she would go into that closet and pray. And she would see great results. You know, it was really a cool movie, actually. Let's go to chapter 21 of Matthew. I was reading that book by John Lake I told you about, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And I'm reading through the diary, and this guy, his whole life was based on praying and speaking in tongues. And the people that came to his fellowships and stuff were also highly invested in praying for the sick, praying for people that needed deliverance. And I thought about, you know, we could do a better job of praying as a group. We could do a better job praying individually. And, you know, like we sent out that prayer request last night for Becca. And, you know, she's home, and that's great.
Yeah.
I know of a lot of instances where we've prayed for people and they've gotten delivered. You know, and when you get a prayer request, it's not just off the top of our heads or just because we want to give you something to do. It's because, you know, somebody really needs it. And we should keep it in mind. Because a lot of times, there's a tendency, okay, we stop. Like this morning, my wife and I stopped when we got the message about my sister, and we prayed. But then I don't want to forget about it. I want to keep praying for her the whole day.
Right.
You know, she needs it.
Right.
And that's what we need to do when we get a prayer request, not just pray and then forget about it, but keep praying for it until we see that that person gets delivered. Years ago, we used to send up, and we do it at camp sometimes, where we put out a prayer list. I don't know, maybe we should do that again sometime. But I feel like everybody should know what they need to pray for, right? We should always pray for our country. We should pray for each other. We should pray for people that we know are sick or need deliverance. We should pray for the outreach of God's word, the opportunity to speak God's word boldly. And we should pray just to have a good relationship with God. That, you know, speaking in tongues is perfect prayer.
Yeah.
Chapter 21, verse 18. I could go on a long time for this. This is about most of you know this record. Jesus Christ and his disciples, they went out to Bethany and spent the night. Verse 18, now in the morning as they returned into the city, into Jerusalem, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. And he said unto it, let no fruit on thee henceforth forever. And presently, or immediately is the word, the fig tree withered away. And we all learned this years ago, maybe. In the East, there are certain trees that are considered free to the public. That if you see a fig tree, you can pick fruit and eat it. And this tree only had leaves. There was no indication that fruit was going to be on the tree. It was that time of year. And when figs are small or when they're just coming out, it's like fruit. And then later on, they get big and juicy. My grandmother used to have fig trees. And we used to get them and have fights with them. But they are good, fresh figs, you know, really juicy and sweet. Anyway, the fig tree withered away because Jesus Christ knew it would never bear fruit. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon or how immediate is the fig tree withered away?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith or believing and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." Now, he's explaining about believing, and it's the manifestation of believing. Meaning, if God tells you to believe for something, you can believe for it, and you can see a miracle, right? "And in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." And that's a big key. You know, when we pray, we should be praying with believing. We should expect to see results. We pray with believing. What a great thing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you don't have to go there. Don't go there. But in chapter 5, there's just one little line. It says, "Pray without ceasing," which means constantly. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Of course, this chapter before that goes through the armor of God and so on. And then verse 18, it says, "Praying always." This is a charge to the people, Paul writes by revelation, "praying always with all prayer and supplication." Supplication means specific requests in the Spirit. How do you pray in the Spirit?
Speak in tongues.
Speak in tongues.
Much.
"And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." What's perseverance? Sticking with it, keeping at it, being, you know, not quitting, not giving up, not forgetting about it. "And we are to, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints," for each other, right? We're to pray for each other. "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And, you know, that's a great prayer for us to pray for each other also, that we all have opportunity to speak God's word and let people know the truth. Let's go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. A great record here of the church coming together in prayer. Verse 1. "Now about that time," Acts chapter 12, verse 1. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church," the believers. "And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then were the days of unleavened bread," or the Passover, right? "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him." Four quaternions of soldiers would be 4 times 4, 16 soldiers. To watch him and make sure he didn't get away. "Intending after Easter," and the word Easter there is the only place in the Bible it is, but it's really the word Passover. That's in Greek, it's Passover. "Intending after Passover to bring him forth to the people," because it said those were the days of the unleavened bread, right? So they didn't want to do anything during the religious holiday because that would insult the Jews. But as soon as the holiday was over, Peter was toast. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. What a great thing, huh? The church came together and they prayed without ceasing for Peter's deliverance. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So he's in chains, he's got two guards standing next to him, and then outside the cell door, which is locked, are two more soldiers. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. How cool is that? And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself," you know, put your clothes on, "and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not or knew not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought he was dreaming this. It's really cool. But when they were past the first and second ward, you know, they got out of the cell, they got out of the cell block, they got into the courtyard. They came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. You know, the door just opened magically, not magically, but power of God. And they went out and passed on through one street. Forthwith the angel departed from them. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where they were gathered together praying. They were praying for who?
Yeah.
Peter. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. Not the one on TV. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. You know, and who got the glory?
God.
What a great thing. So, you know, prayer is just a powerful, wonderful thing. And when we come together in prayer and we stay at it, we're going to see great results. And so when we send those
prayer requests
out, or if you have a need, you know, you should let us know, because we need to be praying together for these things. We need to stay at it. We need to be persistent. We need to be bold, and we need to pray according to God's word. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for making prayer available to us, that we can pray to you and pray perfectly, and how the Spirit gives us the utterance, and how we can have that great relationship with you, and that as we stay at it and as we pray with believing, we will certainly see great results individually and as a group. So we thank you for these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.